Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com.
O gracious and most merciful Father, we give you thanks and praise that you are the one who has given us and revealed to us your word that we might know what we are to believe concerning who you are and also what our duties are required towards you. Lord, we pray that as we read this scripture and other scriptures this morning, that you would bless this time as we gather together. Lord, bless it as you did and as you have recorded in the former days for our instruction, that through endurance and through encouragement of the scriptures that we might be able to have hope. Lord, let us see hope even in this passage of darkness. Let us see the light of Christ shine brightly in our lives as well. We pray in Jesus' blessed and holy name. Amen. Hear now the word of the Lord from Luke chapter 23, verses 44 to 49. This is God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. Please take heed how you hear. It was now the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw that had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for the spectacle, when they saw what they had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. An unknown author wrote this: "You cannot appreciate the miracle of the sunrise unless you've waited in the darkness." You cannot appreciate the miracle of sunrise unless you've waited in the darkness. So too, this morning, as we look at this beginning couple of verses of what we just read, so too let us see the miracle of the sunrise, which we find later in the passage. But here we have a Christ crucifixion. It's the sixth hour, about midday, when the sun should be at its highest and the brightest. It becomes the most darkest. The light of the world has been taken out of the world. Now, this is not a solar eclipse. A solar eclipse would only merely last about 7.5 minutes at the longest one in about 200 years or so. But this lasted 3 hours. Now, when we read of this, we're not merely just reading of the gospel account, merely just recording history. And if we only read this as a historical account, then I think we miss the point. Now, it is true. The authors of the gospel do record history, but it's not merely just history. It's never just history. Now, what we do is we call them historical narrative. Now, this means that the author is telling a story, and particularly in the gospels, a story within a story. The story placed within the canon of Scripture. That you might even be able to say that what they're recording is theological history. That they're just not recording what happens, but they're recording His story. They're recording God's sovereignty and His works of providence over creation. And when we understand this, then we understand that they're not merely just recording things that say happen, or the happen chance, or luck. This darkness falling over the land was not a fluke, but it's happened during the exact time of Jesus' death. So what does this darkness mean? I think a key for us to be able to understand this passage in Luke is to be able to remember all the way back to Luke chapter 1, when Zechariah, who is prophesying, he ends by saying this: "Because of the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high and give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The sunrise shall visit us from on high and give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So first, before we understand what it means to be able to have our feet guided into the way of peace for that light to shine, we need to understand what that darkness actually means. Again, it's not merely just the recording of the event, although it is a real event, but what is darkness? The Bible, you might be able to say darkness puts it into three main large categories. The first is darkness is sin. Early in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus explained that darkness is sin. He said in Luke chapter 11, "Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness." Zechariah's prophecy has many scriptural references, but one important reference is Psalm 107, which speaks of those who are in darkness because of their rebellion against God. The author of Psalm says, "Some sat in darkness in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons." Why are they in irons? Because they rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. That here, sin is lawlessness, and sin in this darkness, they sit in this dark shadow of this prison because of their rebellion against God. And some have explained that darkness is the absence of light. But darkness is then now walking in God's ways, not in walking in God's ways, but in the rebellion and opposition against God. So darkness is sin. Secondly, darkness is Satan's domain. If darkness is sin, then Satan's domain is one of darkness, filled with sin against rebellion, a kingdom against rebellion against God's kingdom, in conflict with him. The darkness is never merely just an isolated thing. That darkness doesn't merely just occur in this place, in this area, unless there's confines around them like clouds. They provide shade. And we're not merely just talking about shadows. Complete, utter darkness. Paul uses the same phrase Luke uses in Colossians chapter 1 when he speaks of the domain of darkness. Paul's point is that you either find yourself in the domain of darkness or you find yourself in the kingdom of light. Now this makes sense. If you consider what sin is, and sin is darkness, then all those who walk in this sin would then live in darkness. Third thing that darkness is a darkness is a sentence of judgment. Not only darkness is sin and Satan, but the sentence of judgment. That in the beginning there was darkness over the deep, but then God spoke. He created light, and the light that God created was good, because God is good. God is light, and in him there is no variation or shadow of change. And darkness is the removal of all what is good, and often used to speak of the final judgment. It is the final judgment before the coming of the Passover in Exodus story with the 10 plagues. Darkness is the removal of what is good. Frequently used in the Bible to speak of the last day of that judgment which will come. Joel writes about it in chapter 2 where he says, "Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness there is spread upon the mountains a great and powerful people. There like has never been before, nor will be again after them through the years of all generations." So then why is this darkness important as we think about Christ's death and also his resurrection? When we think about Luke chapter 23, the Christ is his crucifixion, that Christ took on all of these for us. that Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us. The Christ defeated Satan in the realm of darkness, the dominion of darkness. Christ bore the wrath of God's judgments and sentence of sin upon his people. The Christ faced the punishment of death for us. This is important for us to be able to consider. But it's also important to be able to consider not merely just to be able to dwell in this darkness. But what does it mean for us today? Well, an important thing that we see in this passage is that darkness was merely just for a short time. The darkness ended. Christ closed his eyes, breathed his last. He descended into the darkest parts of the earth, of the grave. He was in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights. We do not merely just celebrate Christ's death and darkness, but what we celebrate is that he conquered death and darkness. We do not celebrate the sun setting, but the sun rising, the sun conquering, the sun's victory. As God spoke in the beginning, let there be light. There's major implications for us. We turn down to Luke chapter 24. But on the first day of the week, at the early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of Jesus. While they're perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. As they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, and men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he has told you while he was still in Galilee." You might say, to put it in the terminology of darkness, why do you look for light in amongst the darkness? Why do you look for life in a grave? The Christ conquered sin, conquered Satan, conquered and paid for that price. But the implications for us today is not merely that Christ has done these things for us. This is true. We not only celebrate that Christ defeated death and darkness, but he also now calls us to be the light of the world, to be a bright light set ablaze on the top of a lampstand, declaring and proclaiming his resurrection. The bright city on a hill, that we once were children of darkness, but now we are children of light. That we once walked in darkness in the realm of the dominion of darkness, but now we walk in the light. We're no longer in the domain of darkness, but we are in the kingdom of light. That we are called to be light in this world. As Christ, the light of the world, came down, he ignited many candles to be the light of the world, to be able to proclaim and point people to Christ. The death and darkness has no dominion anymore, for Christ conquered death and darkness. In the hymn, "In Christ Alone," it speaks of this victory. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. There, in the ground, his body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain. Then, bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. We have many things to be able to celebrate, and one of the things that we celebrate is we don't celebrate the darkness, we celebrate the light. We celebrate the dawn of a new day when Christ rose again. We celebrate that we are the light of the world. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. O gracious and most merciful Father, we give you thanks and praise that you are the one who has conquered the darkness of sin and Satan and that sentence of wrath and judgment which is due to us. Lord, that you are the one who has come into this world to shine a light into our hearts that we might be able to repent. Lord, but you conquered these things for us that we might be able to be the light of the world. Lord, we pray that we would walk not in this darkness, but walk in the ways of your kingdom, the kingdom of light. Help us to do this that we might be able to proclaim to all around how you have defeated death and Satan. Lord, that you rose victorious. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com. Seven Springs Presbyterian Church began in 1874 and is a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America located in Glade Spring, Virginia. Please join us for worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for His glory and His gospel.